Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. I'm Steve Peasley. And I look forward to doing this podcast every day. I enjoy answering your questions. As long as they're financial in nature, I enjoy them. I don't like any other kinds of questions on this show. It's just not suitable. But I also let you decide what questions you want to ask and take the show where you want to go. As long as they're financial, we'll go there. I have no hidden agenda. I'm not trying to push anything on you. I don't do that. Of course, and as I said, you push the show where you want to based on your questions. So if you want to talk about individual stocks, we'll talk about individual stocks. You want to talk about the economy, we'll talk about the economy. You want to talk about insurance, I'll talk about insurance. Anything financial is open to you. And today's investing situation is pretty different than what we've had in the last several decades. Have you noticed? Tech stocks ain't working. This thing, they're doing pretty poorly. One of the worst starts of a tech industry in decades. So I still think it's going to be kind of ugly. Had earnings from Microsoft and Google after hours. Microsoft beat expectations pretty much straight down the line. Google, not so much. So we'll see how that affects. These are two huge companies, so, you know, they're pretty much telling you between the two of them, where tech will go, okay? So, and today's investing situation, as I said, is extremely different, and it's going to stay that way. It's just not going to go back to what you were used to, high growth stocks, and where, you know, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. Netflix got crushed, and it's going to continue to get crushed. I wouldn't say it around Netflix. Okay, you got to put the odds in your favor, everybody. Growing your money. It's important to grow your money. So that's what this show is about, answering your questions to help you decide what to do with your money. So you got to get to that financial freedom number, whatever that is in your head. And, of course, the volatility that we're dealing with not only causes a lot of anxiety, but it also will set up great opportunities. When those opportunities, when do you take advantage of them? Of course, that's always a difficult question. The Russia-Ukraine war is still continuing. There's no end in sight yet. So do you think traders have adjusted to the uncertainty of that war? Have they absorbed inflation concerns? Or have they absorbed the concerns that the Fed is going to raise rates pretty strongly this year? How strongly? Well, they say, you know, 6, 7, 8 times. I saw an article, one of the big money houses said they think up to 11 times. I'm not buying that. You know, try to remember some of these big houses and these big claims by them, these outlandish claims, or, you know, where you think, oh, is that going to happen? Like the call of $200 a barrel oil. That's not going to happen anytime soon. It could happen, but not this year, I don't think. I think we might have seen this peak. What was it, 115, 120? Well, I don't remember exactly. We might have seen the peak oil. We may have seen it for this year. Doesn't mean it can't get higher. That's obviously possible. We're talking about probabilities, though. So I will tell you this. I will give you assurances that all our market reporting, all our process explanations, all our educational segments, all going to be done with no bias one way or another. And it'll be at what our opinions are based on what we know. We don't buy data or information. I take that back. We buy data, but we don't buy opinions. We don't. We come up with our own. So I encourage you to contact me right now with your investment questions. Yes, you get to shape the show, as I said. In fact, you can call right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Every Monday through Friday, we're live. So get your questions in. Either way, the number never changes. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. So let's get right to our first listener line question.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Steve. This is Charles from Portland, New Jersey. I'm wondering if you could please comment on QuantumScape and Playboy. QuantumScape, QS, Playboy, PLBY. They've both taken a pretty bad hit. Do you think it's time maybe to get in now? Thank you.
Well, I like QuantumScape. I will say that QS is the symbol. I'm not keen on Playboy anymore. I'm just not. It's just not my cup of tea. It really was never my cup of tea, to be honest. I thought they had a great brand, and I thought they should have ran up, and they did, but we didn't take advantage of it when it peaked. We did not, and now we're suffering for it, and our clients are suffering. I'm suffering for it. But I'm not keen on getting into Playboy anymore. I wouldn't buy it. I just don't like it that much as I did. But I still like QuantumScape. But remember, that is a huge risk because of the battery technology. You know, they're developing next-generation solid-state lithium metal batteries for use in electric vehicles. They say they have the solution. They've done many tests and have many independent tests, which confirm that they do. That doesn't mean they're going to be successful, even though the batteries look like they do what they say they're going to do. Because now you've got to ramp up production, and that's going to take a couple of years. And first, you've got to ramp up production enough to run tests on real time, real cars, real life, see if it really does work in the real world. But I do like their technology, and I do like the company as a very high-risk potential. And it's a very low price right now. It's $14.38. Can it go lower? Sure. Yeah, everybody, you know, no one can, I can just tell you that they don't have earnings, they don't have sales. It's all on speculation. Right? So, yeah, you can go down to 2. You can go to 0. It can. This is the lowest its range that it's been in a while, but it certainly can go further. My focus point today is based on the story, oil is falling and analysts are backing off super high predictions. Remember, they predicted way to excess of $200 a barrel. So oil dropped to below, what, 98 a barrel now? So why? You know, it's a very simple thing. If you can learn one thing about high prices, the one thing that solves high prices for things is high prices. The higher the price, the more likely the high price will solve itself and come way down. That, you know, that's what happens because they dry up demand. No one can afford it. Depends on how high is. Interesting. Other topics. Signs of a strong economy. I got 3 little signs that we'll talk about. Earnings, 80% have beaten expectations. And the ones that have been reported so far, 80% of those companies have beaten their expectations. Now what? And finally, China is on its own trying to solve its own economic malaise. They're on their own. No one else is going to be able to help them. No one can come to the rescue. They can't, like, you know, sell more exports. And no, not going to happen. They're on their own if they want to improve their economy. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Those are things I would like to talk about. The market went down again pretty big. Remember, it was up yesterday, down most of the day, and then came up at the very end of yesterday. But today it was all kind of downhill, further, more down, most of the day. And the Dow was down 809 points, the NASDAQ down 514 points, and the S&P 500 down 120 points. Bad day all the way around for the market. So, are we in a bear market? Not by definition yet. We're not. Will we be in a bear market? It's very possible. I mean, it's very possible. So we'll see. We'll be watching carefully. I always watch carefully, of course. You know what will give us a good signal that the market has finally finished with its downstroke? Exhaustive sell-off. Now, you'll say, well, wait a minute, we've been having some pretty big sell-offs here, which today is one of them. But they're not exhaustive. Well, what do I mean by exhaustive? I mean with a spike, huge spike in volume, where a lot of people just give up and throw in the towel. Exhaustive sell-off. We haven't had that. Not look like we had it yet, even though with these big recent down days. Nope. We have more volume not that many months ago on a down day. So, no, not there. Not yet. But I still think the market's going to fall. Remember, we've only had one increase of the Fed fund rate, and that was a quarter point. The Fed is so far behind. It amazes me how behind they get. And it's their own fault. I thought there were smart people up there. They're not very smart. Anyways. We have good news for InvestTalk listeners that enjoy hearing unbiased answers to caller questions at a faster pace. We have just posted our all-new April Rapid Fire Hour with 30 caller questions. It's available now as a free podcast download. So please tell your friends about the InvestTalk Rapid Fire podcast. Free. Not everything's free. All of them. Everything's free. And now the InvestTalk phone lines are open. Call 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk Voice Bank never closes.
I have a question for you about Amazon.
So your questions keep coming.
I have a question about P.E. ratios.
And that's okay, because Steve Peasley and Justin Klein specialize in unbiased guidance.
If I'm looking at a dividend company, I'm looking for consistency of earnings and dividends.
Your standard daily chart typically goes back 1 year.
No question is too simple.
I wanted to ask about Teladoc.
And each question is an important part of the podcast.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
Steve and Justin are fearless.
That's fairly inexpensive for this kind of explosive growth.
The problem here is that you're picking a leveraged ETF.
Tell your friends and family members about InvestTalk.
You've been instrumental in my understanding how this market works.
Don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Duncan from New York. Again, thank you for all that you do. I have a quick question about a stock, Medpace. Ticker is MEDP. It's been going south just recently. I've been having an eye on it for a while. They've had great earnings, and their return of equity on FinFiz says that they are 20%, and their price per earnings right now is about 30. I think you guys said that the average PE for a value stock or something like this would be between a 15 and a 20. Just trying to learn exactly when to get in, and if you could just like educate me on what a good entry point is for this, or even if it's a good stock play for this environment right now. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, just trying to remember the average PE really depends on the industry as well, not just, the PE per se, because the S&P 500 average PE over a long period of time is like 15, 16. But if you talk about tech, or if you talk about, iron ore, steel companies, mining companies, it's way lower than tech. So it always depends. And here you're talking about Medpace Holdings, provides outsourced clinical development services to biotechnology, pharmaceutical, medical device industries. So it's a $4.6 billion company, so a mid-cap. It has made money, grown its money pretty steady, earnings pretty steady over the years. $5.61 this year, $5.61 per share this year. That's 17% higher than last year. And then another 13% growth next year of earnings per share, $6.34. And sales growth, the most recent quarter, March quarter, 27%. The December quarter was 19. September quarter last year, 22. So, you know, it's a very healthy company. And over the last several years, it's done nothing but march up. Okay, so now it's coming back down. How far down? It got as high as or almost 230 points. Now it's 132. What's it worth? Well, it's going to make $6.34. So its average PE over the years, the lowest it's had in 5 years is 17. So if it took $6.34 and multiply that times 17, and you should get a low of about $108. And remember, it's 132. So that's its low it should go to. And then looking at a chart, there's a lot of support right around 115. So I'd wait. I wouldn't be in a rush to buy it. Good company, though. Very good company. We are moving into a break. Don't go anywhere. I'm here and taking your calls live here on InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
For investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. InvestTalk. Steve and Justin welcome your questions anytime on the InvestTalk listener line. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. That's my call number. The number you can call anytime you want. My focus point today, based on a story, oil is falling and analysts are backing off super high predictions. Now, I wrote a book some time ago, and one of the key statements I make there is experts are always wrong. And this is an example. I mean, smart people, Goldman Sachs and, you know, Wells Fargo, all those analysts were saying oil's going to $200 a barrel when the war broke out and sanctions against Russia. Oil's going to $200 a barrel. Inflation is crazy. So, okay. Now they're backing off. Oil's at $98 a barrel. That's still not cheap, by the way. It was in the 60s for many years here in recent history. But it shot up, what, 115, 120? I'm not even sure I remember where it was. 100, you know, per barrel. Doesn't really matter. And I, on this radio, said, no, it's probably not going to 200. It's probably, you know, it's going up, but, it's, you know, I don't think it's going to go anywhere near 200. And I've said many times, and this is an article that proves it, the cure for high prices is high prices, where demand starts to fall off. Now, you combine the prices falling off because demand is slowing down with the big elephant in the room, China, which has, you know, now contemplating shutting down more, making the Beijing citizens test for COVID with the threat of shutting down Beijing after they already shut down Shanghai because of COVID. What do you think that does to demand of oil? It shoots it straight down and the oil demand goes. And remember, China is huge like us. We, the U.S., we have oil. We have plenty of oil of ourselves. We do. Now it's a question of political will to get to it. Exported and, you know, refined it and all that stuff. But we have plenty of oil. On the same time, demand for oil in the United States, as you know, it's gasoline especially, is going down. Going down. Last several years, going down. And it's going to continue to go down. But you still need oil, and you're going to, oil demand worldwide will grow for the next decade. Not in the U.S., but other parts of the world. So this is talking about, this article talking about, you know, that China is a big elephant in the room as far as dropping demand, if that's the fear anyways. They have not shut down Beijing. They have not. But they've had 3 days of testing. They have stated that they're going to shut everything down for 3 days to test all their citizens. Well, what if they find more? Their solution is not, okay, try to treat the people that are vulnerable, but keep your economy open. Theirs is much more draconian. Shut it down. Shut down everything for a few weeks, which has been in recent studies out, really doesn't solve the problem. It produces other problems that are just as bad or can be worse. So it really doesn't solve the problem. But Beijing, remember, they're a communist country. They like to dictate to what the people have to do. And here in the United States, we're a bunch of independent people. We like to not be told what to do, which is how America got so strong in the first place. Anyways, so that's what's happening. Okay, so let's go back to the voice bank. Take another question, okay?
Hey, Steve, Justin. This is Tyler from Ohio. I just had a question about one stock. T. Rowe Price, ticker symbol TROW. Stock looks really good to me. I mean, they look like they're continuously growing their earnings and revenues and stuff. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on it. And if you think this is a good time to get in, or should I wait a little while? Thanks, guys. Let me know.
Okay, T. Rowe Price Group provides investment advisory services to individuals and institutions, investors worldwide. Started out a big mutual fund company. But they're big and they're growing. They're growing very steady, between low teens to low 20s on average for the last year and a half. Earnings this year are going to be a little less than last year. Last year they earned $12.75. The estimate for this year is $11.35. And then back up to $11.98 next year. And it's a $131 stock. So it tells you it's what, about 13, 14 PE? Their range is 10 to 20, so it's a little bit lower than halfway of its range. Return equity is very good at 36%. Cash flow is very strong at $13.94. Mutual funds are neither buying nor selling in the last year. Management owns 1%. So it's a strong company. You want to buy on weakness, which is where it is now. It pays a 3.7% dividend, and that's one of the main reasons you want to buy it. If it holds, you need to wait to see if it holds $130. If it holds, it starts up, that'd be a good place to buy it. But I don't think it's going to hold. I really don't. Inflation eventually affects almost everything and everyone. One area where inflation is immediately evident is the price of gasoline. So I thought it might be constructive to put things in perspective. So as we go to break, here are my two-part trivia question. According to AAA, the average price of gas in the U.S. today is $4.13 per gallon. But looking back in time, do you know what the price was in 1978? And for adjusting for inflation, which year since 1978 had the highest average price? After the break, I'll give you the answer, 888-99-CHART.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
This is Invest Talk. For serious investors, it's all about achieving financial freedom. That's why the unbiased guidance offered by Steve and Justin is so valuable. The InvestTalk Anytime listener lines are open now, and Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I gave you my trivia question. According to AAA, The average price of gasoline in the United States today is $4.13 per gallon. Well, not here in California, just so you know. We're still in high $5, and I've seen as high as over $6. But looking back in time, do you know what the price was in 1978? So the average is $4.13 now. And after adjusting for inflation, which year since 1978 had the highest average price? First, gas prices increased 18% in March and briefly topped $6 per gallon in some parts of the country. That's here, Southern California. If you live in California, you know the pain. So here are the number. 1978, gas was 65 cents per gallon. And if you adjust for inflation, it's $2.99. After adjusting for inflation, the highest average gas price is $4.69 back in 2012. $4.69. Remember, it's $4.13 now. So here are some of the other prices from specific years. 1981, $1.35 or $4.46. Now remember, that was during the shutdown of exports from the Middle East. Probably don't remember that, guys. That's too long ago. 1988, 96 cents per gallon. 96 cents per gallon, or $2.39. 1992, $1.19, or $2.66. 2020, $2.24. But $2.50 inflation adjusted. So those are some of the numbers. Give you an idea how much it cost. If you really sit back and look at it, you say, well, geez, $5, $6 a gallon, that's a lot of money. How much does it cost for other things? I mean, you know, when gasoline was $1, $2 a gallon, I'm thinking, man, you know, you could pay for water more than that. Today, not so much. Okay, let's squeeze in another voice bank question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Brandon in D.C. Looking for your thoughts on Meritage Homes Corp, ticker MTH, just considering the rising mortgage rates. I'm just wondering if this is a decent stock. So I'll look forward to listening on the podcast. Thank you.
Oh, it's a great company. There's nothing wrong with the company whatsoever. Okay, builds single-family detached homes for first and second-time move-up buyers in central, western, eastern design. Regions of the United States. They're going to make $24.38 this year. That's 26% more than last year. Then $24.36, down a couple pennies next year. And the dollar is $80.96. Why is it so cheap? You're looking at a 4 PE, a 3 plus PE, and that's a 5-year low on its range. Why is it so cheap? Answer is really, really, really simple. Return equity, by the way, is 27%. Great. Great cash flow. All the numbers look great. But obviously, the answer is increasing mortgage rates. And the Federal Reserve plan on increasing the Fed's fund rate more, which will affect the 10-year Treasury, will affect the mortgage rates and everything going higher. So investors are avoiding builders and getting out. I would not buy. You're in the wrong time of the cycle. Wrong time of the cycle. You want to buy this at the depths of a recession. That's when, and if the Fed does what it wants to do, it does what it says it's going to do. And by the way, I don't think they will. But if they do, we are definitely going to recession. There will be no soft landing. They say they want a soft landing, but they're talking really, really tough now. That might be talk. I don't trust the Fed far as I can throw any one of those members in. I tell you, I can't throw them very far because the Fed will change on a dime. The Fed should have been increasing rates slowly well over a year ago. But they said inflation was transitory. We don't have to worry about it. It's transitory. Yeah, right. Go back and listen to some of our shows back then, and you'll hear me and Justin saying, you know, inflation is a problem. Inflation is a problem. The Fed needs to start doing something about it. And they wouldn't. And they didn't. Now they're way behind. And they want to catch up. See how that works out. Signs of a strong economy. Now, you got to separate your stock market from your economy because the economy so far is not showing signs of recession, not showing signs of slowing down, actually, still doing quite well. And here's three signs to tell you, point to that fact. Malls are pretty darn busy. For malls, remember the internet is destroying mall traffic, but in the recent times, they're busy right now. Go to your local mall. You'll see a much bigger, busier traffic, more people. American Express, okay, 30% increase in volume in the most recent quarter. 30% increase. If American Express is shipping stuff around more and more and more, we're not talking about Amazon. Amazon's doing a heck of a lot more than business than American Express, but American Express increased to 30% in the most recent quarter. That's huge. And travel has skyrocketed. Travel. You're finally getting some of the airlines going to make money this year after they've been clobbered. But Sky, have you been trying to... have you tried to look at airline prices? Have you seen what they do? You know, they're super high. My wife was going to visit some relatives for a concert for one of our nieces up in Washington State. And usually it's a $200-$300 flight. They wanted $700-$900 for the flight. If they can get that, that's 2, 3, 4 times what they used to get. So, and people must be paying it. So those are signs of the economy still pretty strong. Now, don't misunderstand me. Right now it's pretty strong. But if the Fed keeps doing what it wants to do, it will roll over. They will. They will and can push us into recession. They will say they don't want to. They will say that they're going to try for a soft landing. But how many out there, hold up your hands, believe the Fed? Remember my book. My book says, and I'm not pushing it, but I'm just selling it. It's the title is Above Average Investor for the Average, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And one of the main themes I'm in there is that and experts are always wrong. Think for yourself. Okay? Here's a question that came in as part of an iTunes review. You know we do that. This is from the Puma 51. DOV is the symbol. I'm curious about your thoughts on the ticker symbol DOV. It's been on a dip for the last few months. And I was wondering whether you like this type of stock in this type of market environment. So when I type in DOV, I think I looked that up today for somebody else. Yeah, Dover Corporation. Manufacturer specialized industrial products, equipments, components, specialty systems, and support services. A $20 billion company paying 1.4% dividend, growing 10-15% in sales every quarter. It's going to make $8.54 a share this year to 12. That's a 12% increase and another 10% increase next year. And it's $139 stock. Pays a 1.4% dividend, and it should be paying more than that, by the way. Return equity is 29%, which is very good. Mutual funds are buying it and have been buying it, and mutual funds own about 55%. So, do I like this stock? Like many other stocks, this has ran up really nice. Industrial company ran up really nice for a long time to $184. Now it's down to $139. I'm thinking it's going to come down more. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets down to about $115, $118, somewhere down there. I would rather see you buy it then. It's a good, solid company. Nothing wrong with it. But don't be too anxious getting into any of these stocks. No. Okay? So I think it's worth taking a minute or two. As I talk about it every year. It's a fairly new part of the new year. I mean, it's only in April, right? We still got quite a few more months left in the year. I want to talk about KPP Financial. We're located in Irvine, California, which is in Orange County in Southern California. And I want to remind you that here in InvestTalk and at KPP Financial, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking and shared success. But what does that really mean? Well, that one thing is we're independent. We give you unbiased guidance. We don't buy our guidance or are beholden to some big company. We're not. You know, one of the big money houses, we don't have any ties. Next thing we do is something different, parallel investing. What we call parallel investing means I and Justin buy the same thing for our clients we do for ourselves. Same price, same percentage, so that we're on the same side of the table as you are. Okay? And, you know, we have different investment strategies. I encourage you to take advantage of our offer to take a look at the strategy you are participating in your current portfolio. Oh, you don't have a strategy? You should. I saw a portfolio just today. I'm thinking this person's going to lose every dime they have. They're not going to, and they have over, they're on margin. They're doing things they should not do. And they loaded up almost half their portfolio, one stock, one risky stock, things that a good money manager would never do. And this guy thinks there's no problem. So take a look at your portfolio and then understanding the risk you're taking and then understand how much risk you want to take is part of the process. You need to know that. We need to know that. You need to know that. And if we can manage it for you and you think we're a fit, fine. Oh, we're good. We want to manage your money. But we're here to help. We really want to help, and we will help you. But you don't have to become a client. We'll help you. Some people you can't help. Many people you can't. Next up, we will go back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank. Remember, the phone lines are always open. 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk Voice Bank never closes, so your questions are always welcome.
As a newer investor, my question concerns positions.
You have the right to remain silent, but why would you, when anything you ask will be used to help you create your financial freedom?
I think it'll probably go higher.
And so I would keep a tight stop on it.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, just wanted to get your thoughts on Alphabet Inc., Class A, ticker symbol GOOGL. The stock's down about 17% off of its high. I know this is one of the big players in the game. I know there's a stock split coming up for this one as well as Amazon. Just want to get your thoughts on a long-term hold for this, looking at about 20, 30 years. Thanks. Love what you guys do.
It's a great company, GOOG, Google. If you don't know what Google does, you must be living in a basement somewhere all your life with no power. Provides online search, internet, and all that stuff. It had earnings reported after hours today, and they weren't that great. Microsoft also reported earnings, and they were pretty good. Beat expectations, but Google, not so much. So I think you're going to have a little downstroke on Google tomorrow. Again, I think there's no rush to get into tech stocks. There is no rush. In other words, let's see where it stops falling. See where all these tech companies stop falling. Google just recently fell below $2,500 a share to $2,390, and that was support, strong support. So where's it going to go now? Well, I'm thinking $2,150, $2,100. Now remember, it's going to have a five. I think it was a 20-for-1 split, something like that. Yeah, and that's like coming in June. Okay, so we'll see what that does. But you know, I just think you're too early to pick up thinking it's cheap. It's not cheap yet. It's no longer expensive, but it's not cheap. So just be patient. Let's fit another iTunes question. Will Colorado, he says, I'd like your opinion on AMRK. AMRK, let's see who that is. A-Mark Precious Metals. Got in at $52 a share. Has been doing well. The fundamentals still look fairly strong. A negative net cash flow recently. I am a riskier investor. Just want to know if I should start trimming, currently about 8% off of my portfolio. Okay, A-Mark, it's a small company, $864 million. Full service precious metal trading company offering gold, silver, platinum, palladium for storage and delivery. It's been growing pretty strong sales. Earnings are going to be down this year almost 50%, only because it had a real spike last year of $17 a share. Before that, it was $4 a share. It's very erratic in its earnings. This year, it's going to be $9 a share. Next year, $7 a share. So I would start to think to take some profits off the table if I were you. I would think the time to take some profits off the table. Do I think gold and silver are going to go higher? Probably. But I still think it's time to take some of the profits off the table. Not get out, but take some of them off the table. Just makes sense. This is Invest Talk. Paul from San Francisco. I want you to hang on if you don't mind. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve financial freedom, whatever that means to you. And of course, the work will continue after this break. So get your questions in now. 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Paul in San Francisco on KDOW. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Steve. So I have a question around CLF, Cleveland Cliffs.
Yes.
Recently, they came out with a great earnings, but then stock tanked.
Yep.
So I just want to know, what is your thought, if it's going to go any down any further or it's going to go up?
I think it's going down. Okay, now, there's nothing wrong with the company. Don't misunderstand that I think the company's terrible. It's not. It's a great company. Cleveland Cliffs, what does it do? It produces flat-rolled steel supply of iron ore pellets in North America. It's a $14 billion company. 87% return on equity, which is very good. PE is really low, about 4, okay? And the stock is a $26 stock. Their earnings this year is going to be $5.95, which is about 2% higher than last year. But next year, it's going to go down to $3.70. Why is it going down to $3.70? Sales are starting to fall off, okay? And the estimate is anticipating higher interest rates, slower economy. And this is a very cyclical stock, so their anticipation is going to go down. If I owned it, I would take my profits, if I have any, at least half or all of them at this point. If I would not take a new position in it, not till it got down to maybe, about 16, 15, 16. That's where I'd be a buyer if I wanted to buy it back. But that depends
Thank
on
you
the
so
Fed.
Much.
No problem. Appreciate the call, Paul. Thank you. It will depend on the Fed. How strident are they going to be raising rates? Because they're going to destroy. They continue to do it. Remember, they only raise them one time, of 0.25%. And look what's happening in the economy. It's still doing very strong, but mortgage rates are now over 5%. From 3% to 5%. They only raise it 0.25%. Now, of course, a lot of the next move by them is already built in. People know that they're going to continue raising rates. But if they are so strident about raising rates, that could destroy the economy. They say they want to engineer a soft landing, but they always say that. Always say that. But maybe they are engineering by talking tough now, but not acting as tough down the road. That's very possible. Fed's done that many times, talk one way and, you know, a certain period of time and then change. Yeah, that could happen. I think it's going to happen. If you want to know the truth, I really do. Because they're doing a lot of damage already with just what they're saying and what they've done. Remember, they only raised it 0.25%. That's nothing. Nothing. They really would like to get the rates up to we're talking about the Fed's fund rates. So it's at 0.25% now. They'd like to get up to 2%, 2.25%, somewhere in that range. Well, if they do it 0.25% of time, you can see how many times it would take them. So they're not going to do it 0.25% of time. They're probably going to do 0.5% next meeting, which is the 5th, I think, 4th and 5th of May. After that meeting, I could see 0.5% increase, maybe even 0.75. They did the 0.75, that would get them up to 1%, about halfway to their goal. But I don't think they're going to get to their goal. I think they'll realize what damage they're doing to the economy and stop. Maybe they're smarter than me. That's very possible. Probable. You know? So I'm not pretending I know everything. I do not. I know some things. Okay. So about 80% of all the companies have beaten their earnings expectations. And this next week coming is going to be the busiest earnings week for this last quarter. So we're going to get a lot of earnings reports next week, which could push the market. Okay? Push the market up or down. Okay? So, but there's still a lot of headwinds. You got the inflation, you got the Fed, you got China lockdowns. So there's still a lot of headwinds, but earnings are, it's really look what the CEOs say about next quarter, the quarter after. That's what you're looking at to give you some guidance. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about us. It's a free podcast, download free. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and or Spotify. And independent thinking, share success, everybody. This is InvestTalk. Have a great night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.